It was November 19th, 1863. Thousands were gathered for the dedication of the battlefield and cemetery of Gettysburg. The date of the dedication, though, had been delayed for several months because the greatest orator of the age, who had been asked to speak at the dedication, needed time to be able to put the whole speech together. And so now at last he stood before the crowd. A hush fell over the crowd as they waited for his first words, and he began to speak. "Standing beneath this serene sky, it is with hesitation that I raise my poor, weak voice to break the eloquent silence of God and nature." Hope that sounded a little pompous. Because then he went on and on and on to break that same solemn silence with his own voice for 2 hours. People sitting, standing, listening to this relentless voice on. And then he concluded that whosoever throughout the civilized world, the accounts of this great warfare are read, and down to the latest period of recorded time, in the glorious annals of our common country, there will be no page brighter than that which relates the battles of Gettysburg. I kind of wonder if there was just like a smattering of applause as people woke up and realized that he was done. I don't mean to take away from the work that he did. I'm sure that it was impressive. But the fact remains, how many of you recognize any of those words? It is from a day which has given us some of the most famous words in the history of the United States. This guy went on for 2 hours. We don't even remember who he was, much less what he said. But then he sat down, and then President Abraham Lincoln stood and spoke. And he said, 47 years ago, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Abraham Lincoln. Just 10 sentences. 278 words. Takes you about 4 minutes to say it out loud with any kind of inflection in your voice. You could read it off in probably about 2 or 1.5 minutes. And yet, those are the words that audibly reverberate. In fact, they mentally reverberate and resonate with the people of the United States and, in fact, the world as Abraham Lincoln spoke about the sacrifice that was made there for the sake of a country that was ripped apart over the cause of human freedom. Now, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke the 7 words that we've read through here tonight. And as much as Abraham Lincoln's words resonate, Jesus' words have resonated for the 2,000 years since they've been spoken. Untold sermons and articles and paragraphs and commentaries and everything else have been shared over the years on these 7 simple statements, these 7 words Jesus spoke from the cross. And they speak louder than all of the written word or spoken word by humans in all of human history. We see today that they are part of our Good Friday meditation because of all they say to us in the midst of Jesus' sacrifice, in the demonstration of his love, in the fulfillment of the Father's promises, and in the rich, deep grace that we can see carried out there on this Friday that we call good. And so we turn our special attention to the first words that Jesus spoke from the cross. Lives or words that were spoken, preparing our hearts for lives lived to God's glory, giving special attention Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And as we consider those words, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends, during the season of Lent, we have spent the last 40 days in contemplation, in meditation, somber days, days of repentance and renewal, days of sober introspection and solemn, muted joy. We look to take inventory of who we are, who God would have us be, where we are, and where God would have us go. And during this journey, we concentrate, we find comfort in the forgiving words of our Lord, but we tend to focus on God's forgiveness to us. Tonight, as we look at these first words of Jesus from the cross, we see that the Spirit is not only talking about the forgiveness that is ours in Christ, but the forgiveness that we show to others. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How about considering how we forgive others? Now, how often haven't we prayed, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Words from the Lord's Prayer. We certainly have no problem with the first half. We know that God has forgiven us. He's given his Son to forgive us. Jesus making that sacrifice on the cross to pay for sin, transferring his perfection to us. God has forgiven us. We know this. But what about that second part? As we forgive those who trespass against us. And I know some of you have already looked at this in the past, but I'd like to look at it again tonight for those who haven't considered it before. Let me rephrase the equation. In effect, we're praying, God, forgive me in the same way as I forgive other people. That does put a different spin on it, doesn't it? All of a sudden, I'm not quite so sure if I want to pray that part boldly, because I know how I am. I know how unforgiving I can be. Do I really want God to forgive me in the same way that I forgive other people? Dutifully, Sarah recited the words that she had been assigned to memorize for her confirmation class, and she concluded with the words, taking his words and actions in the kindest possible way. This is the last sentence from Dr. Martin Luther's explanation to the eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. But later that same morning during recess time, as Sarah was running around, little Johnny, not watching where he was going, accidentally ran into Sarah, knocking her down. She skins her knee and ends up with needing some medical attention from her teacher. And of course the teacher asks, what happened? Sarah blurts out, Johnny pushed me down on purpose. He's always being mean to me. Taking our neighbor's words and actions in the kindest possible way. But you know how it is, don't you? Someone accidentally bumps into you as maybe you're making your way through a crowded lobby, and the natural reaction is to just give them a shove back. Hey, watch it. With all the construction that's starting now, you're probably starting to see it more often. People zooming up this lane and then trying to duck in front of you, but you don't want to let them in because that really ticks you off. So you ease on the gas pedal a little bit just so that they can't make it in and have to get in behind you. Someone innocently passed along some misinformation about you, and so you think they did it on purpose or jumped to that conclusion, and so you ridicule them in front of some other people. Somebody at work, you know, it's that guy that always likes to blame other people, and lately he seems to be blaming you for his failure to get done what he should be getting done, and so you figure out a way to try to make him look bad in return. Or your spouse said something hurtful to you, so you withhold your affection. A friend betrayed your trust, and your attitude is, she doesn't deserve my forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive her until she comes back begging for forgiveness on her knees. Then maybe I'll think about it. Yeah, when we look at ourselves, we have to wonder, whatever happened to taking our neighbor's words and actions in the kindest possible way? Consider for a moment what was happening to Jesus as he spoke words of forgiveness. I mean, people were laughing at him. So-called church leaders were sneering at him. Soldiers had just driven nails, spikes, through his hands and feet. They were gambling for his clothes in front of him. The weight of his body, as they were putting the cross up into place, the weight of his body was already starting to suffocate him, at the same time that the weight of our own sinfulness, our unforgiving attitudes, were suffocating him with hell itself. And Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Talk about taking your neighbor's words and actions in the kindest possible way. That beautiful statement from Jesus' cracked and bleeding lips is a word of forgiveness, to be sure. But I have to admit, they are words that condemn my unforgiving heart. During Jesus' earthly ministry, his public ministry, Jesus taught, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Forgive 77 times. On the cross, the first words from our Savior's mouth were, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's practicing what you preach, right? Jesus living what he spoke perfectly, selflessly. His words of forgiveness condemn my unforgiving heart because I know that I can't love, I can't forgive the way he wants me to. All too often, and I have to admit this with a heavy heart, I don't even want to. I don't even want to try to forgive sometimes because I don't want to let go of the anger. But Jesus knew that, didn't he? Jesus, the God-man, the all-knowing Christ, knew how I would be, knew how you would be too. Even before you and I had ever been born, before we held our first grudge, before we refused to let it go, before we let our stubborn pride lock us away from the freedom of forgiveness, Jesus knew us. He knew how we would be. He knew our unforgiving hearts. And as he hung on that cross, dying for these very sin-filled hearts of yours and mine, he prayed, Father, forgive them. It's a word of forgiveness. And not just a word of forgiveness. No, Jesus backed it up with the act of forgiveness by first living the life that you and I would fail to live. Perfectly forgiving his enemies, praying for those who persecuted him, speaking the truth in love to restore relationships, and then, because God demanded it, restoring our very relationship with God by giving his own life on that cross for yours and mine. How can you possibly say thank you for something like that? Well, in concept, it's very simple. Follow Jesus' example. Done. Only it's not so done, is it? It's not so easy. Forgiving in your heart those who hurt you, taking the opportunity to assure them of your forgiveness and love, recognizing your own failures, and then together looking to the Lord, banking on Jesus' work and word of forgiveness. Yeah, Father, forgive them. And I know the concept may be simple, and putting it into practice sometimes is downright seemingly impossible. But remember, you and I, we've been forgiven, even though we don't deserve it. God has forgiven me, and he's forgiven you too. Plugged into God's promise of this forgiveness, he says, now go and do likewise. Because Jesus spoke these words of forgiveness for you, now you, comforted and grateful in heart, forgive as you've been forgiven. Amen.